Welcome to today's webinar, The Changing Principles of Email Design, The Art of Driving Email Conversions, sponsored by Bronto Software. What type of email creative results in higher open rates, clicks, and conversions? What are some of the best practices around designing an email program that will not only engage customers but persuade them to open emails and ultimately buy your products? These questions and more will be answered during today's lively webinar presented by two great speakers, Reggie Brady, the president of Reggie Brady Marketing Solutions, and Kevin Skirsky, the director of marketing communications at Bronto. Today, you'll be sure to learn the do's and don'ts of email creative for conversions, what works and what doesn't when thinking about creative for conversions, why the old rules for creative design must change to account for the increasing use of smartphones, how to create templates that make it easy to segment content and offers, and so much more. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console, marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can use all of the widgets and bells on this console. And speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. Without further ado, let me introduce you to Kevin.
Thank you, Melissa. I appreciate it. And I just wanted to start by thanking everybody for joining us today, for spending your time here. As Melissa mentioned, I'm Kevin Skirsky, the Director of Marketing Communications here at Bronto Software. And this topic is near and dear to our hearts. We're a marketing platform provider focused on retailers and other commerce-focused companies. So we are constantly here thinking about how to help our customers increase conversions. And improving email starts with a goal in mind. What is it that you're trying to improve? Is it opens? Is it clicks? And if it's conversions, and that's a purchase or whatever a conversion means to your business, as Reggie is going to cover in today's webinar, there are several key aspects of emails that should be considered. Not only should you be paying a lot of attention to these particular elements of your email designs, but you're also going to see why it's critical that you create mobile-optimized email. I know Reggie is going to dive into many of these design elements today, but I wanted to share what I heard from our team of marketing strategists to find out what they'd say are some of the top email design considerations when it comes to driving conversions. So I thought I'd start with an example from one of our customers. This is Austin Canoe and Kayak. They're a multi-channel paddle sports retailer that also sells outdoor adventure-related products like camping, hiking, trekking. And they overhauled a more communication-oriented template in order to turn it into a real conversion driver. And in designing this special offers template, they focused on a few key elements. Number one, a featured promotion, always above the fold and typically redeemed with a coupon code. Number two, they maximized the content areas. For example, they expanded the pre-header text, added social sharing icons into the top banner area, and had an image-to-text ratio that ensures that the message can be interpreted even if images are not displayed. And next, the product features offer a choice but not an overwhelming number of products. And then as you might be able to see, they've moved the secondary calls to action, such as a launching of a new app that they have, down a little bit below in the email. So it's working extremely well, and there's been a huge lift in conversions after they implemented this new design template. Here's another example from one of our clients. This is iNet Video. They're an online provider of Blu-ray and DVD movies, music, and games. What I want to call out about their email program really is how effectively they use A/B split testing to optimize their email templates and to design for conversion. A/B testing of subject lines, calls to action, other elements is one of the top recommendations from our strategy team for lifting conversions, and I know that's something, again, that Reggie's going to talk about today. On a regular basis, iNet Video tests their subject lines, their content positioning, and placement of visuals. You're probably all familiar with A/B testing, but quickly, in case not, this is a feature of many email programs allowing you to create multiple versions of an email, usually changing only one element with each version, send each version to a portion of a test list, and then once you see the results, you take the winning email and send it to the rest of your list, or use what you learn on your next send. A/B split testing, as well as some of the design elements from the previous example, are among some of the tactics that Reggie is going to go into today. So there's many design elements that can make your email marketing more effective, but beyond design, conversion rates depend heavily on your ability to align content, offers, and timing with the customer. It's the individual. It's lifecycle marketing, which is about knowing your customers, listening to find out what matters to them, and then communicating with them at the right time with the right message. And that theory of lifecycle marketing makes sense to most of us, but as marketers and as consumers ourselves, but as marketers, we know it's challenging to execute this. Sending personalized, high-value messages dependent on a large number of triggers for a large base of contacts requires one of two things. You really either need a small army of people working for you, or you need a smart platform that lets you integrate a lot of data in one system, analyze that, use that information about preferences, interests, and behaviors, and then create highly personal messages. And it sounds complex, but this is where your marketing platform comes in, and this is what Bronto does. We make it easy to do complex things. It's built to help our clients drive transactions and increase revenue with smart email and cross-channel marketing. So, for example, a good email marketing program should make it easy to do things like create and edit your templates and then test various elements using A-B testing, like I'm showing here. So we do a lot of work with our clients on optimizing design because for the type of companies we primarily work with, retailers and other companies who are driving revenue with online marketing, conversions are king. And we believe that there are some fundamentals of email design that can lead to higher conversions, but that also any given company is going to have some things that are different depending on their own customer base, the product type, the buying life cycle, price levels, the brand, and whatnot. So it's not purely formulaic, but that being said, there is a lot that can be done to optimize emails for conversions, which is why we're excited for the rest of today's webinar. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Melissa and then over to Reggie. So again, thank you for your time. If you have any questions for me, here's my info, and be sure you check out the Bronto blog. This is a best practice-oriented blog focused on email marketing for commerce. 2 to 3 posts per week. It should really be on any commerce marketer's regular reading list. So thank you.
Yes, great. Thank you so much, Kevin. And that is, I have to attest that that is a very good blog. There's some good information on there. We refer to it regularly here at Target Marketing Group. Anyway, let me pass this on to our next speaker, and that would be Reggie Brady from Reggie Brady is going to be doing her presentation, Changing Principles of Email Design. So thank you so much. Take it away, Reggie.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Melissa. I'm very excited to be here today. Just as quick background, I'm an email marketing and direct marketing consultant, and email is a true passion of mine. What I really enjoy doing is figuring out how to boost ROI for clients. So with that, one of the most important things for everybody on the phone, listening on the phone, is your mission is obviously to beat your competition. And first of all, of course, it's competition in your own vertical. But the other thing is you're competing with every other email that comes into a crowded inbox. And so design and various areas are extremely important to get people to regularly open and interact with your messages. So here's a quick look at our agenda. We're first going to talk about driving conversions with designs, calls to action, testing, subject lines. And then we'll move to what I call the mobile factor, which is the new reality. Mobile has really altered email design dramatically, and I'll give you some ideas that hopefully you can put in place today. So let's start with some basics of design. And I want to first talk about making use of the preview pane. Now, roughly half of your audience should probably have their preview pane enabled. Now, we know that the from line and the subject line are the two key ways to capture attention in the inbox, but for those 50% who use the preview pane, something compelling in the preview pane just might convince them to really open your message. So I like the idea of using or including teaser text at the top of the email. So here's an example from Drs. Foster and Smith, and they're also using personalization up there. My eye just naturally travels to my own name, so I really like that. And then what they're doing in that first line, which I'm not sure how easy it is for you to read, but they basically are playing off of the subject line. Here's an example from Moore Magazine, their weekly newsletter. And underneath their logo, you can see what the main feature item for their newsletter is. And one last example, this is a not-for-profit example from NRDC, and above their logo, they again are using the free preview pane to explain what's in this particular email. Now I want to move to effective designs for the header. And while an email message header is technically still part of the preview pane, I just wanted to address this separately. First of all, let's start with IKEA, and they sell furniture and accessories. So they do have the teaser text at the top. And I like that they have both view on mobile device and view in browser above their logo. We're going to talk more about mobile, but it's a good idea to include both options. They also have some personalization where I can see the IKEA store nearest to me. And they've included some social icons with a call to action. Instead of just putting the icons there, it says share these offers, which I think is a good idea. And that whole area is very compressed, so they're making really good use of that real estate. Plus, they have a navigation bar, and I like nav bars. This particular email presented bedroom furniture, but if I looked at this email and remembered, oh, I need a new end table for my living room, I can just click on the living room tab. Then below, we have a header of an email from Retail Online Integration, who's hosting this webinar. At the top, the first thing we see is mobile-friendly version, and then it's followed by a link to view online. And I also think it's interesting because if you look at the placement, it would be very easy for somebody on mobile to clearly click on that view on mobile link, which is important. I'll deal with that later. Plus, there are helpful icons below the logo. So good use of real estate. Images. Hopefully, you all do not embed images in your emails, but rather host them. And just remember that you have a bigger chance that ISPs might think that your email is spam if the images are embedded. And they get a little bit worried that there might be questionable content. So if they can't really scan that image, they may play it safe and deliver you to the bulk folder. And obviously, you don't want to do that. Also, never put critical information in an image. If it doesn't load, and we know that image blocking is a problem, then your recipients won't be able to see your message. And we'll talk later about mobile, but it's also an issue there. So here's an example of image blocking. This is Brooks Brothers, and the rendered email on the right is classic, stylish, very consistent with Brooks Brothers branding, but the entire email was created with images instead of smart use of HTML. So, for example, all the text on the right-hand side is an image. It would have been very easy to create that in HTML because when you look at the left, there's nothing that displays except for at the very top. If you're having problems viewing this email, please click here. So here's a stronger implementation. Land's End use HTML and tables, which is the right way to construct emails. The pretty lady in the swimsuit may be missing in the version with images blocked, but the reader gets most of the message. The Land's End example used alt tags, but here's a different example. Alt tags in emails are similar to alt tags on websites, because images might be blocked. If you've got an alt tag, it may be at least some of your recipients can see what your image or promotion is all about. Now, the standard convention on websites is to make alt tags relatively short. In email, it's okay to make them longer. And in this Sony email, the alt tag shows the entire headline. Note, this tactic won't work on all email clients, but it can contribute to your results. We're not really going to talk much about copy, but people do not read every word in your emails. They scan. So when you think about your design, you've got to organize the email so that your main points, your main offer, your main services or products really stand out. Headlines and subheads are extremely important. Bullet points are easy for people to access, and you do need to make it easy because people that open your email aren't going to spend a lot of time. Promotional emails, you can see, that's 5 to 15 seconds. Newsletters, a little bit longer because there's usually more content to really have to deal with. Now, in terms of design, I like the idea of using two columns. Email is not print, and it's really hard or difficult to read copy that spans across the entire screen. So, with two columns, it gives you the opportunity to condense the reading area, and to me, the copy is much more approachable. Looking at this very first email, you'll see that the second smaller column is on the right. And I think this is a really good idea because if somebody is reading on a mobile device and the full email doesn't display, at least your primary content is getting through. Now, my only quarrel with this particular email is the large image that supports the first story. Whether it's on a desktop or in a mobile environment, this is actually pushing down the main content which you want them to read. It's an interesting and intriguing picture, but many people may not get to the meat of what you want to share. So perhaps I might have moved the headline, which again is intriguing, but above the picture and maybe even a little bit of the content. This next example is a gardening email, and they put their important content and their links up top. The right-hand column is used for ancillary promotions. And this Dunkin' Donuts email is well-designed. All the text is on the left-hand side and provides enough information so that even if there was image blocking or if there was a display problem, for example, on a mobile device, the reader still gets the message. The content comes through. So one thing that you may think about is that if you've got many images, you may want to put them towards the right-hand side of your emails. I also like the idea of thinking about modular design. So here's an example where you can see there are several content areas in this particular Salesforce.com newsletter. This is really a little more of an advanced topic for marketers who are using dynamic personalization so that you can customize parts of the email based on what you know about the user, their demographics, their behavior. Each area is separate, so you might use one or two of those areas to provide custom content based on what you know about that individual. And here's a different example from Holiday Inn Express. Or you can use modular design to simply create a basic template, but with variations that you can use for different messaging. So REI has one flexible template with three different configurations. On the left, you see a simple sale announcement. In the center, a design that's highlighting some of the brands that they feature. And the third shows multiple products. Now, here's an email from Carnival Cruise Lines, and it's using modular design and dynamic personalization. It looks extremely simple. We've got a headline, we've got an image, and we've got a little bit of copy. By the way, I do like that they also include a pearl or a personalized URL at the bottom of the email. But look at this. There are 14 different headlines, again, dynamically generated based on who that individual is and where they are in the consideration phase for a cruise. There are 79 different images, 76 different versions of the body copy. And by the way, if the user clicked through to the landing page, it also applies those same kinds of principles. So, now moving away from modular design, I want to talk about incorporating social icons into your email. As you can see from this particular study, 54% of marketers said their results were either significantly better or somewhat better by using and incorporating social icons. So where do you put them? Well, we already looked at the IKEA example, but here's one from Dick's Sporting Goods. Like IKEA, they have included the icons at the top near the, in their header. Or, this is another choice, you could include it near the bottom. In this JCPenney email, the company includes various social icons, also forward to a friend, and share on mobile. If you have a newsletter, it may make sense to include social icons after each content clip. It's very likely that only one particular story will strike a chord with the reader. So the company that manages email deployments for IAB SmartBrief tested multiple variations of what they should show at the end of each content clip. And what you see here is the winner. So it includes sharing on social sites, sharing via email, and searching for related stories. So that's quite a workhorse area at the end of each clip. Now I'd like to move to talking a little bit about driving conversions with testing. Now here's what looks to be a fairly simple test. And what I think is interesting is that sometimes very small things can make a big difference. And this company did some rigorous testing since they ran this test for 7 entire months. Half of their group saw a HackerSafe logo in the upper right-hand corner of every email, and the other half did not. Now, as you can see from the result of this test, those who saw the logo had higher average orders, higher conversions, higher click-throughs. Now, honestly, would you have expected this kind of a difference? So just think small things can make a difference. And, oh, I'm sorry, here's the other example. Kevin was talking about A-B testing, and this is a very simple example of A-B testing. BuyCosmetics.com tried two different creative promotion approaches for one of their promotions. As you can see, the click-through results, Virgin A, was the clear winner. So they rolled out to the balance with the winning creative, and obviously the results aren't going to exactly mirror each other, but it's pretty darn close. So testing and then rolling out, or as Kevin mentioned, figuring out what works well in a test and then looking at future campaigns to use that information can certainly help. Another thing that you might think about if you're running a discount promotion is, do you give them dollars off or percent off? So here's an example from Evo. They sell surfboards and wakeboards, and both their subject line and the emails were very clear in terms of $50 off or 15% off. It's interesting to note that both of them had very similar opens and click-throughs, but the dollars off generated significantly more revenue and higher conversions. And the reason I I've seen this also in other tests, but the reason I think is that it's hard for people to do math. So, for example, if this board happened to cost $375, it's not that easy to do the calculation to say, well, what is 15% off of $375, where immediately knowing I just subtract $50, nice and easy. So that might be something that you'd want to test. I also love the idea of including some value-added content in your emails. It might be an interesting tip or a factoid or some tidbit of information. In this particular instance with Drs. Foster and Smith, they were really looking at their headlines. So one is screaming, if you will, not screaming, but pure sale. And the second really talks about, well, we've got products that are going to help your poor dog's arthritis. And they find when they take this kind of approach that they really get higher click-throughs, higher average order rates, and higher sales. In terms of testing, this was a survey done of marketers by Marketing Sherpa, and they were looking at what are the things that marketers typically test to get better results. And we won't go through each of these, but let's say the top four subject lines, message, you know, the content, layout and images, and calls to action. But then there was a second follow-on question saying, well, of all these different elements, what makes the biggest difference for you in terms of driving effectiveness of your results? Number one, the target audience. So that's all about segmentation. The landing page, then the subject line, and then the call to action. I thought I'd share with you one email makeover. This is a business-to-business company. Their opens and clicks were really rather stagnant, and you can see their email also is not exactly all that exciting. They worked with a creative designer, and first of all, you can see the results got much, much better. Maximized the preview pane, so they've got a table of contents at the very top. They include forward to a friend, and in case that individual did forward to a friend, there's also a subscribe now button. They included a main image, and I think images are important. It really helps bring your email to life. They shifted that small column to the right-hand side, and we've already spoken about that, but it makes a lot of sense. And then instead of having individuals just click on the headline of each of the content clips, they also included a read more at the end of each article. So now let's spend just a couple minutes talking about subject lines. We know that they're really important in terms of driving opens, and it allows you, again, to stand out in a very cluttered inbox. This was a study released by Experian, and what I like about this is that it speaks to different verticals, but you can see the top words used by, for example, catalogers in their subject lines. And you'll notice that in almost all of the categories, you or your is important. So you're speaking more directly to your audience. Free is obviously a big one, and save. So those are a couple to look at. And this is a different look by a company called MailerMailer. They deal with generally mid-sized and smaller-sized clients, but what I like about this presentation here is the larger the word, the more often it was used by their clients in subject lines. So we can see free again, we can see sale, weekend, news, updates. So if you download the presentation, you can take a look at this at your leisure. Subject line length. You probably all know that subject lines need to be relatively short, particularly for retail emails. I see that many are about 30 characters in length. I do think that newsletters can be longer. And remember, particularly for consumer marketers, more than 50% of your recipients are using free webmail. And you can see that the display can be truncated to somewhere between 38 and 47 characters. This was a study done by MailerMailer looking at subject line length and the impact on opens and clicks. Interestingly enough, between 4 and 15 characters had the highest open rates. But if you really look at what the sweet spot is in terms of pretty good opens and very decent click-throughs, you're looking at between 16 characters and 30 characters. So short is better. And short, I'm saying here that you could go as long as 45, but realize that you may want to make it shorter. And for mobile, and we'll talk more about mobile later, focus on the first six words because the display is very different on a mobile device. Just a couple other thoughts. If you're not using your company, your brand, your newsletter name in your from line, you may want to also consider including it in the subject line itself. Relate to your reader, state a benefit, find a way to pique their curiosity, make a strong offer. And the last thing is, if you look at what kind of keywords are driving more traffic to your website, that's what's top of mind when people are thinking about your particular company. So you may want to even use some of those words in your subject lines. Now we'll move to calls to action. First of all, in terms of calls to action, should you have links or buttons? And I think both make a lot of sense. I also like the way this little clip that I included here. The button is really clear. It's separated from the rest of the text, and yet there is a text link slightly above it. The other thing is, for particularly for mobile, where people have fat, stubby fingers, there's enough spacing there so that somebody can click on either or. Don't make your text links too short. So in this first example, it's going to be harder for somebody with a mouse or a finger to click on now as opposed to register now. And one thought, having talked about image blocking, is that when you create a button, create it with HTML text floating over a background graphic. So even if the background graphic does not display, your HTML text will. Because you certainly want, you know, to make sure that you've got a strong button. We're going to come back to this tip, but in terms of buttons, they should be, I'm giving you here some sizing ideas. This particularly works well with mobile, where, again, you need to make sure there's padding around it and make it easy for that fat, stubby finger to click on your button. The other thing that I like the idea of doing is using action words in your buttons. So there are several examples here. And also think about applying this to your website. One of the dullest implementations that I see all the time, for example, on an email sign-up form, at the bottom is submit. That is dull and boring. You know, really try and motivate people with your calls to action. And now we're going to move to the mobile factor and the new reality. Mobile and tablets are changing the way consumers and business people deal with email. Now, the chart on the bottom of this slide, which was done by a company called Notice, shows emails opened during the second half of 2011 on mobile phones. Almost 21% of all emails were opened on a mobile phone. Close to 7% were opened on tablets, and almost 73% on desktops. And just to show you how rapidly things are changing, at the end of 2010, emails opened on a laptop was almost 87%. So 87 down to 72.6. That's showing a very significant trend. Now, here's a further breakout by industry. And I think this chart can be a little bit confusing because, for example, with opens, it's reporting what percentage of all opens by industry was on mobile, tablets, or desktop. So the total is always going to equal 100. But to me, the most telling column on this chart is what they call the click-to-open percent, or the CTO percent, which represents the total clicks divided by total opens. And this is a measurement of engagement, since if you believe somebody opened your message, then it's important to know what percentage of those openers were motivated enough to click. So clicks to open on desktop wins hands down in every category. Mobile phone and tablet users don't engage with email as much. Before we leave this, I want to dive down into one specific category, consumer services. And the company explained that they put all consumer retailers into this particular categories. Now, a lot of marketers have thought, well, They may open my email on a mobile device, but they'll come back later and open it on a desktop. Well, when they analyzed and dug into the data, they found that users are not opening on multiple devices. Over 95% of all emails are just opened on a single device. So again, I think that's a wake-up call for the importance of optimizing your emails for mobile. Mobile users are frustrated. Many mobile users said that they would do more on their phone if the display were tailored, especially for mobile use. And as you can see, email is at the top of the list. Now, here's a very handy mobile rendering tool. First of all, I should say that a lot of the email, or many of the email service providers, do give marketers the ability to preview how the upcoming email will appear in various browsers, email clients, and on mobile devices. But if you don't have that available through your current email service provider, then you can use Litmus. And the cost for this is relatively low. It starts at $49 a month, and they show how your email will render in 36 different environments. Kevin, I'm curious. You're the sponsor of this webinar. Does Bronto offer a preview capability?
We actually do, yeah. That is a capability in Bronto, and it's done through an integration with one of our partners. So, yeah, you can test it on somewhere around that same number of email platforms.
Good. Okay, that's great. I think it's really important to do that. Now, here's a mobile rendering example, and I ran it through Litmus. This was an email from Allen Brothers, and when it appeared in my inbox, I just want to make the point that it was centered as opposed to left justified. And we're only going to look at a couple mobile examples. So here's how their email shows up on a Nokia. You can see that there's, for whatever reason, there's a big white space at the top, and then we get to part of their message, but obviously you're not getting very much of the message. And that little box to the right is just showing you, if I scroll down, what would the individual see? So this is not going to be particularly effective. Here's a BlackBerry Curve, and they're showing the subject line at the very, very top, and then getting into what was in the preview pane and at least part of the header. So you have to scroll down again to see the meat, of this particular email. Here's a Samsung Intrepid, and I mentioned that this email was centered when it was sent to the inbox. Well, guess what? The centering is actually playing a role in the display here. So you're seeing very, very little of that message in the immediate screen. So one thought is, if you haven't done this, I think you should left justify all of your emails. We're going to just look at one example of a newsletter. This is one from Experian, and it was also centered in my inbox. And I look forward to this particular message from Experian on an annual basis because they put together a fantastic presentation. This one was the 2012 Digital Marketer, and it looks at all the different channels and what some of the new trends are. So I'm just going to play that on a BlackBerry Curve. And as you can see, there's very little that shows of the email itself. And for some reason, if you look at the small right-hand side, that the image got fooled around with and is not rendering the way they want it. So let's talk about how this new reality affects design for email. To be honest, first of all, I got to say that iPhones and iTablets do a superb job at rendering. It's really mobile platforms such as Android and BlackBerry that are spotty at best. So as marketers, you need to appeal to this broad user market. And so for email width, think narrow. And I suggest a width of 485 to no more than 550 pixels. Some will even tell you 550 is too wide. And also, of course, be careful of your file sizes. So in terms of email design for mobile, here are some of the general areas you must consider for emails possibly being read on mobile, tablets, and desktop. It's got to be easily scannable with the most important content on the left. Your calls to action have to be clear and simple and set apart so that someone on a mobile device can click. You may need to raise your font size, and I'll talk more about this in just a minute or two. If you have really important content, you may want to use that top section of your email to present your offer or service in a one column or one panel. Large click-to-action buttons, and you also have to design for touch. So thinking about email design, obviously you have to cater to PC or desktop and mobile at the same time. The first 2 to 3 inches is extremely valuable real estate, particularly on some of those mobile screens we were looking at where you don't get much of a display. Remember to put click to view on mobile at the top. Put your most important offers and content. Unless you have a very condensed presentation of social icons in your header, you may want to move some of these further down in the email. We've talked about alt tags. Use fixed width tables. Keep your width somewhere in that 500 pixel category, and we've already talked about text links and buttons. So here's an example from L.L. Bean. If you clicked on their click to view on mobile, you'll notice what they're showing is actually a text version. So that's one thing that some marketers will do in terms of that click on mobile link. One thing that is important is to send multi-part messaging, and that simply means that you send a text version and an HTML version of your email at the same time. I know that some marketers have moved away from sending text, but if there's a problem, particularly, for example, with older BlackBerries, they can only accept text, so you want to make sure that as many people can see your message as possible. Certainly, you put your logo at the top so that people can recognize your brand. If you use an 800 number, a toll-free number in your emails, that could be hot. And if you think about the mobile environment, they could actually click on that phone number and immediately connect with your call center. Consider one column above the fold, but if you use two columns, put text in the left and images towards the right. Don't use large images, and navigation on the left may be important. Depends on how many people actually use your nav bar to click through on your emails. And I've mentioned this before, but we can see what the old mouse was, and now the new mouse is a fat, stubby finger. So in terms of fonts and sizing, and again, this is just taking into account mobile and having the user having a good experience, you may want to increase the height of your headlines. You may want to increase the body copy to about 14 pixels. And if it's less than 13 pixels, it'll be resized, which may make it very, very small in a mobile environment. And we also talked about buttons, making sure that they're fairly standardized. One other point, if you've got links, make sure that there's some separation between the links. So on the left-hand version, it's very easy to click on a link in this email. But on the right-hand side, there are many links up at the top of the message. It's really impossible. for somebody to click on any one of those because they're spaced so closely together. By the way, if you're a B2B marketer and you want to optimize, you should optimize for BlackBerry, Android, and as well as Microsoft Outlook. If you're a consumer marketer, optimize for iPhones, and by the way, I mentioned that they display perfectly anyway, Android phones, and as well with Gmail and Yahoo. I want to close with two examples of what I call mobile optimization. The first email is from Luxor, and you can see that it's much narrower than most of the emails that you see in your inbox. I assume that they did their homework and have a significant number of people viewing emails on a mobile device. They also use that pre-header area, and it's going to be difficult for you to see it on this particular screen, but it has a special call out to mobile users. It says, mobile text users, mobile users, text LX to 23000 to receive special offers and updates on your mobile phone. You'll notice it's one column. The call to action, which is book now, is prominently on the right, and that's fine on the right because this is a very narrow email, so it should be viewable. They have social media icons at the bottom, and this is mobile. They also promoted smartphone apps at the bottom. My last example is from The Gap, and again, notice the very narrow width. It's one column, and there's a barcoded coupon near the bottom of the email, and I'm sorry because I've cut off part of it. Actually, I might have even changed the design on this a little bit because if you're viewing this on mobile, it's going to take you forever in terms of scrolling down to actually find that coupon. But coupons in emails, you know, with barcodes, etc., are a perfect inducement for a person to forward the message to their phone or for mobile readers to save the message and then use it at retail. So with that, I've finished the main part of the presentation, and I'm going to turn it back over to Melissa.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Reggie. As usual, some great, great tips, great information, real takeaways, which is always what I like about your presentations. We do have a lot of questions. We only have about like 12 minutes, so I'm going to be selective in the questions that I ask. But, Reggie, I'm sure you'll be happy to answer some of these questions after the fact, correct, if we email them to you? And
yes, sure.
Okay, great.
I may not be, just at one point, I may not be able to get to it until Monday. I'm actually out on all day tomorrow and Saturday doing work.
Okay, no problem. I'm sure that would be fine. There's a lot of great questions here too, so I want to make sure everybody gets their questions answered. Let's see. I'm going to just start from the bottom and move up to the top. So one listener wanted to talk a little bit about the alternative to image embedding. He was concerned, I guess, whether or not this increases the success of images not getting flagged by ISPs.
Okay. I'll answer this, and then I'm going to turn it over to Kevin also. It usually, with most email service providers, it's relatively easy to arrange for either the email service provider to host the images or for the or for your own website to host those images in a background area. And just to make sure that you understand, of course, as soon as somebody is connected to the web and open their emails, those emails are the images are pulled in almost automatically and extremely quickly. Kevin? Do you offer that kind of facility for your clients?
We do, yeah. Same as a couple things you said there, hosting of the images and then the ability to put in the alt text behind those emails.
And would you, I think that that's really important, and it is the way that you should carefully, HTML design is not easy, but I think it's the only way to go.
Absolutely, yeah, we definitely agree with that. I mean, it's a really important part of optimizing your email templates. You've got to assume that images are not going to display for a good portion of your readers, so use those alt text behind any images that are at all important and choose that text wisely because that's the text that they're going to see if that subscriber has images turned off.
And as I'm sure everybody in the audience knows, well, first of all, Outlook, the default is not to display images. It's not that hard to change it. But all of the webmail clients automatically suppress images unless you're already added to their, favorite list, or that individual has to click to say always enable images from XYZ company.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Let's see. I've actually wondered about this too. You mentioned using the word free as a great, word to use. The listener was told that that should be avoided due to spam catchers, but he was wondering if you were referring to using free in a graphic, that's different.
Okay, that's a good question, and I think that the world has changed. Mm. And the question that was a couple of years ago extremely valid, and free in a subject line would be caught by the spam filters. But first of all, we know that free is the most valuable word and enticing word in the English language. So it's strong. It drives opens. It drives people, looking at your email. But on top of that, spam filters, I'm sorry, I'm kind of bouncing around here. First of all, the way spam filters work is that for every bad thing you do, you might get a point or a half a point, and it's a cumulative score that's really going to affect deliverability. So yes, using free in a subject line may get you 1 point, but if that's the only thing you've done, that's a very low threshold. So your email is fairly likely to get through and get through to the primary inbox. The other thing I want to say is that today, spam filters are not as potent and as much of a force as they used to be a couple years ago. Now it's all about authentication. It's about your reputation. For example, many of the ISPs are now looking at whether they're going to place your emails in the inbox or in a bulk folder based on how many people actually open your email, how many people interact with your email. So that's really taking a lot more precedence in terms of good deliverability.
Okay, great. That's really good information. One listener was wondering, you talked a lot about mobile and the different issues with graphics. Do you recommend just using text for mobile, just plain text emails as opposed to, HTML?
The example that I showed, and it was relatively small, so it may have been hard to see, but I think that example, I believe, was just, plain courier text.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I think you can do instead of just, courier text is ugly, and these are marketing messages, I think you can use an HTML light version. So that means you can have some headlines, you can use some color, and you can use things like bullet points, but, no images.
Okay, great. Are there any best practices around where social sharing icons should be located in the email?
Well, I showed a couple different examples, and I'm going to stick more to the the consumer and promotional side.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I liked about the IKEA email, and if you remember, that was up in the header area. But instead of just, you know, well, I know I've got to do it, so I'm just going to put my social sharing icons in there. I like that there was a little call to action next to it. But I think they can work, there are two schools of thought on this. I may need to get into the body of the message and see that, oh, man, you've got a great promotion going on. You've got free shipping and handling. And so once I've read that, my eye is traveling further down. So having those icons down at the bottom does make some sense. So I would test it and see which works best for you. And while I didn't address it in this presentation, I also think on occasion you should be sending a what I'll call a standalone or a solo email to your list that's just promoting what's going on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, to give your audience a chance to experiment and try you out.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I would just add a couple of things to that real quickly to agree with those, but also, you know, to really think about whether the email that you're sending or that you're designing is share-worthy, and if it is, to make sure you include the icons and, like Reggie said, probably test the placement of those. I think that was the question really had to do with the placement of them. But to think about if that one, if it's really worth sharing, if anyone else would really care about the email that you're sending, and most of the time they probably would, but there may be some times when they won't. And then to think about whether you can reward sharing in any way or to show next to those icons beneath them some kind of offer, some extra reason, some extra incentive for them to go ahead and click one of those or more than one of those and share them in some way.
Great. I think we have time for one more question. What is your take, Reggie, on multiple clickable links within an email?
I basically think it's a good idea.
Okay.
It really does depend on the mission of your particular email. If you're just promoting a sale, you're probably there is probably only one link to go to your sale and maybe some social icons, etc. But I liked the example that Kevin showed at the very outset where the company didn't have too many products. I think they had four different products displayed in the email. That's enough for the individual to not feel overwhelmed that the email is totally littered with a bazillion things to do and focuses. So my assumption is on those emails that there were four separate links. And I think that's important because I may not be interested in product number 1, 2, and 3, but number 4 is right up my alley. Kevin, I don't know if you want to chime in on that.
Yeah, that was a good example. That seemed like the right number. I mean, I guess it could depend a little bit on your audience and the product, but for the most part, that seems to be a best practice, really, is to provide choice, especially if it's a weekly product email or a weekly sale email, kind of a regular type thing where you're featuring several different products, to give some choice so that you're going to appeal to a broader audience and be more likely to get some click-throughs and some conversions, but to not overwhelm them because I think any of us can relate to that when you get something, whether that's a web page or an email, where you're presented with so many options for something, or the cereal aisle at the grocery store, it can be overwhelming and so much so that it could cause people to just glaze over it and not click through at all. So I think that's the best practice is to offer some choice, some options, but not too many.
Excellent. Okay, well, with that, we're going to have to wrap it up. It looks like we're about out of time today. So on behalf of Bronto and Retail Online Integration, I want to thank you all for attending today's webinar. I also would love to thank Reggie Brady for a great presentation and also Kevin for your great points as well. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. With that, I hope to see you at the next ROI webinar. Thanks. Bye-bye.